I want to say to you, happy, not Father's Day, I told somebody, happy Father's Day, happy Family Day, happy Family Weekend. You know, it's so good to be a part of the family of God, isn't it? You know, we teach in our Class 101, and by the way, if you've never attended Class 101, we just invite you to do that. We've got another, it's coming up pretty soon, but in that class we talk about family. And the Bible says, and God says the church is a family, and everyone is to belong to it. And this family is going to far outlast your natural biological family. You know, and so, you know, build family here, right? Build your family. Build your relationships here. And can we just bow our heads, and we're going to ask God to bless this marriage, but I want to bless the families represented here this morning too as well. So, Father, we just thank you for gathering every person here this morning that represents a family. And I pray blessing on every family. We pray blessing on the family of God called City Light, but we pray a blessing on every natural family here. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow them this weekend, a weekend where they could even connect. When there was disconnection, I pray that you would, by your grace, you would bring connection. If there are fences, holes and offenses of their relationships, that those holes would be mended, and that grace would flow, and that they would come together in agreement. And I pray that you would bless every family physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I pray for every family and family represented that you would prosper, and that you would be in good health, even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Thank you for this time in the Word of God. Pray every heart, every ear is open to hear the word. So when we hear that word, help us it just to click with our spirit and when we hear that word, to be determined to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Are we ready to get into the word this morning? I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I really believe this is the word that God wants you to hear. And it's not just so, oh, well, pick, you know, when you're a preacher and you want to lead the church and you want to inject truth that helps people, you don't say, well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You say, God, what do people need to hear? What do we really need to hear? So I believe this is what you really need to hear. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you this morning about relationships. I'm going to talk to you about relational power, having relational power. So I want to talk to you about relationships in a different way than you might think about relationships. And what I want to do is raise your relational IQ, right? I want to raise your understanding about why relationships. Why relationships? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 says, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. The writer is trying to make a point here. The point is, two are better than one. In other words, we are better together. Can you say that? Better together. Better together. We are better together. And see, the writer gives us some word pictures, some great word pictures. And that last one, he's saying, if you're alone and you're attacked, you're in trouble. But two, standing back to back, can defend each other. You know that saying, I got your back? I got your back? This is what the scripture is saying. If you're standing back to back, you're saying, I've got your back. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm supporting you. I will help you. Right? And the scripture, these scriptures are saying that it really is better for us to be together, right? We really are better together. You know, when we become Christ followers, God's plan for us is that we do life together as His people, right? When you become a Christ follower, you begin this brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. But then God's plan for you is to begin to have relationships with each other. Amen? You know, even in the most sinless, the most perfect environment, in a place called the Garden of Eden, and Adam had it made. Didn't he have everything at his fingertips? He had no worries, no cares, no enemies. He even had this incredible relationship face to face with God. Yet even in that relationship, what did God say? No, Adam, it's still not good to be alone. It is not good for a man to be alone. Amen? You know, so the question is, why do we gather? Why does God want us to? Why small groups? You know, what's it for? You know, does it really matter that we gather together? What's it for? Well, it's so that we can worship. That we can worship. But really, you can worship at home too, right? Well, it's because so that we can pray. But you can pray at home as well, alone. So the question is, why does God want us to gather? So that's what we're going to answer today. Today we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to go below the surface. And we're going to look at three big, huge reasons why we gather. I'll give them to you right away. Three reasons why. And they're not up there, I'll tell you, right, if you're writing notes. Success. We gather for success. We gather for safety. And we gather for strength. Let's look at number one. Number one, the reason why we gather and why God wants us to gather is for success. Listen, we need each other to succeed. We need each other to succeed, right? We all need each other. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're dealing with in your life, I want to tell you today, God does not want you to fail. He does not want you to fail. He wants you to do well. He wants you to do well in your marriage. He wants your business to prosper. He wants to be healthy, you to be healthy in your body. God's plan for us is that we will experience success, right? And this is a huge reason why God wants us together, because He knows that we can help each other to succeed. We need each other to succeed. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Read that scripture again. Two are better than one because they can help each other succeed. Right? Which is why, this is on your PowerPoint, which is why God rewards those people. God rewards those people who serve the interests of other people. Do you know that? When you reward somebody else, when you serve the interests of someone else, God will reward you. The more helpful you are, the more ways that you serve, the more you will experience success in your life. Do you know that? It's a powerful principle. God literally created the world to work like that. You help people, and you will be helped. You help others to be successful, and success will just come right back to you. That's the way God meant it to work. You know? You ever walk into a situation when you had to encourage someone, and you began to listen to them and listen to their story, and then all of a sudden, as you began to listen, your heart got into it, and the Spirit kicked in, and you began to say these things that come out of your heart and out of your spirit that encourage people, that comfort them, that build them up. And then when you're done, when you finish talking, you walk away encouraged yourself. You know why? Because while you were trying to encourage them, you got encouraged yourself. Amen? Two married couples are getting together. And both are, you know, one's really struggling. And one begins to share with the other couple, man, our marriage is in trouble. We've got to be truthful for you. With you. We're in trouble. We're having all these struggles, and they share their problems. And they're just talking about their problems. And the other couple's just listening to them and saying, you know what? We had the same problems. We've been there. Here's what we did. And they begin to share their experiences. And after they've shared their experiences, that couple who has just shared, they walk away and they feel better about their marriage. They got more encouraged. How did that happen? Because while they were encouraging, they got encouraged because they were actively involved in serving the interests of others. Amen? This is a big, huge reason why we gather. This is a big reason why God calls us to do life together. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul said that to this church called the Philippians. Then he says to another group of people, the Corinthians, he says, just as I please everyone in all things, as much as possible, adapting myself to the interests of others, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they will be open to the message of salvation and may be saved. Paul says that's a powerful way that you can open up people's hearts so that they will be open to hearing the gospel message of Jesus and they will be saved. And the way that you do that is by caring for other people, by looking after their interests as well as your own. Amen? It's a powerful principle. I think John Maxwell says, people don't care how much you know. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Care. This is your PowerPoint. Success in life is a byproduct of relationships where people help other people to succeed. You know, the reason why some people don't experience much success in their life is because they're not helping other people to succeed. You know, some people get caught up in this small little world of me, myself, and I. And in their mind, they're internalizing, you know what? I got to look after myself. I got to make sure that I get ahead. Like, what's in it for me? In other words, it's just about me. And it's the reason why they have so little success in their life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 just nails it. This is the message. I think this is the message version. And it says this, the world of the generous gets what? Larger and larger. And the world of the stingy gets what? Smaller and smaller. He's not just talking about wealth. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about the way you care for people. The way you go out to help them when they're in trouble or when they need advice or, you know, you're just there for them. It's not just giving them money. You're just there to help them. And because you help them, your world gets larger and larger. In fact, the next verse says, the one who blesses others is abundantly what? Abundantly blessed. And those who help others are themselves helped, right? And I think that's such a powerful principle. The world literally operates like that. You know, even if you're not even, you don't even have to be a believer to make that principle work in your life. I think box stores, I mean, the retail industry recognizes that. You know, especially these big box stores that are really going out to gather as many customers as they can. You know, you walk into a big box store and maybe you're looking for a USB stick. And you walk into this big box store with all these electronics and literally it's overwhelming, right? And you walk and you thought, where do I go? And there are four words that you want to hear more than any other words at that moment. You know what those four words are? What are they, Maggie? Can I help you? Right? Can I help you? The night before, I went to Canadian Tire, and it was later at night. You know what I was looking for? Shoelaces. And I stood there, I thought, where do I go to find shoelaces? And I thought, I don't have much time. I got to get right home. And there was no one else to help me. And I literally had to run around and look for someone to help me, right? I think Starbucks understands that principle. You know, you stand in the line, and it's, when it's your turn, the first words you'll probably hear are what? Can I help you? Or what can I get you? Right? You know, I think, you know, if you want to live a God-blessed life, then we need to say those words a lot, don't we? Right? Can I help you? You know, we need to say it with a smile, and we need to say that like we really mean it. In fact, let's do it right now. Turn to the person next to you and say, can I help you? Let's practice. Hey, can I help you? Right? Really mean it, right? Can I help you? Wow. What would happen if we all did that every time we came here? Right? Can I help you? Do you have a need right now? Wow. Wouldn't that be powerful? Our body would be so much stronger, right? You know, when you help others on your PowerPoint, when you help others succeed, the greater success you will experience in your life, right? I love what Kevin Gerald said. He said, you will be wildly successful if you are passionately involved in helping others to succeed, right? You talk to any highly successful business person, entrepreneur, whatever, they know that's a key for them to obtain, maintain, and sustain success in your life. It's by helping other people to succeed. And the more they help other people to succeed, the more successful they get. Amen? That truth has to be experiential, right? We gather. One of the biggest reasons why we gather together is to help one another to succeed. Number two. Second reason why we gather. Safety. Safety from deception, discomfort, and defeat. From deception, from discomfort, you could say distress, and defeat. We have an enemy, Satan, who is real. He's not a figment of someone's imagination. He's not a comic book villain. He's not a cartoon character. He's real. And Jesus talked about him. And in John chapter 10, he described him as a thief. And he says this. He says the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Is that the devil's plan for you? You bet it is. That's the devil's plan. That's his purpose. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them, to give you a rich and a satisfying life. Satan comes with plans to destroy you. Jesus comes with plans to bless you. Satan works out his plans for you through people. God works his plans out for you through people. Satan does not announce his plans. He doesn't jump out of a closet and say, roar, here I am to destroy your life. Doesn't do that. The Bible says he masquerades. He disguises himself, what? As an angel of light. Like somebody nice. That somebody's up for your better interests, right? But he's not out there for you. Right? And how does he operate? He speaks through the voice of people. And sometimes he can even speak to the voice of a friend. Not that that friend is a bad person, but that friend may give you bad advice. Right? You know, and I was reading Kevin Gerald's book called Mind Monsters, and he said, there are two types of relationships that can come into your life. Two types of attractions and relationships. Fatal attractions, and favor attractions. See, the enemy can bring people into your life that can lead to your demise and your downfall, could destroy your life, your faith in God. He doesn't care if he destroys your body. He just wants to destroy your faith and your trust in God. Right? But the enemy does that, but God sends people. Favor attractions, favor relationships into your life. God's favor is God's blessing, God's good things, God's, you know, all the things that God can give you come through people that God sends to you. Do we realize that? Most of the things that God gives to us comes through other people. The enemy's intention is not that way. He sends fatal attractions, right? Every Samson can have a Delilah, right? Every Samson can have a Delilah. One day, Jesus was talking to Peter. Matthew 16 says from time to time, Jesus would tell his disciples about how, about what he would have to experience, that he would, that he, how he would be, how would experience suffering at the hands of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and that he would have, that he would die at their hands, and that he would be, but he would be raised to life. And one day, Peter heard this and he took Jesus aside, this is Matthew chapter 16, and say, no, Lord, that's not going to happen. That ain't going to happen, Lord. You know what? And what did Jesus did? He turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind the things of men and the devil, right? See, he wasn't speaking directly to Peter. He was speaking to the voice that was coming through him. Peter was getting his source of advice and counsel from the wrong place, right? I say voices can come to you. Voices will come to you. And all, it will always come into our lives. And you know how they come into our lives? They come through people's thoughts, people's suggestions, people's opinions, people's counsel. And we need the discernment of God, don't we? And we need to pray, God, give me the discernment to hear your voice above all the other voices that are trying to speak to me. Isn't that right? You see, the very reason why we gather, one of the biggest reasons why we gather is to create a place where we hear the voice of God and clearly hear God's word. Amen? We need, that's what the church is for. No, I think, there's a good example. Do you remember this story about Cecil the lion? Cecil the lion. Very sad story. Cecil the lion was the iconic animal of Africa. He was being raised up and he lived in the national park in Zimbabwe. And he was dubbed to be an exceptionally beautiful lion. And they were doing studies on this lion. But you see, Cecil, in July of 2015, he was killed by hunters. And you know how they killed him? They lured him out by dragging a carcass of a dead animal in front of the park. And he caught the scent, and he left that park to an isolated place, and the hunters shot him. They killed him, they beheaded him, and they skinned him. And all that was left behind was his carcass and his collar. Right? So, this is a good example for us too as well. Right? You know, some people get lured out of safe places by following the wrong voices. How many times have I seen that happen to Christians? Going strong for God, but they start listening to the wrong voices. Right? Opinions, suggestions, people's opinions, not according to the Word of God. Amen? Now there's in the Old Testament, there were these places called cities of refuge. Cities of refuge. You know, and cities of refuge were places where people were alone. They could run to those places. If something happened to them, or they were being falsely accused, or they were being attacked by their enemies, they would run to these cities of refuge. And in that place, they would find safety, they would be restored, and they would be cared for. You know, I want to tell you that the church is God's place of safety for people today. God's place of safety. We gather together for success, for safety. I'll give you one more. Last one, for strength. Strength. To become stronger in God's purpose for our lives. To become stronger for God's purpose for our lives. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. Even my wife does. She's a strong woman, but she still has her weaknesses. That's why she needs me, right? We all have, and vice versa, right? Did you ever notice, you know, you're married? You know, you have different, you've got opposite strengths and weaknesses. Isn't God incredible? He joins you together so together you can be strong, right? Such a simple, powerful principle, right? We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. Sometimes we see these people, they're just shakers and they're movers and they're just doing great things, you know? I want to tell you, no one is exempt from battles and fears and challenges. We all have them, don't we? We all have these challenges in our life. And that's why we need to realize on your PowerPoint, the people that we do life with will determine to a large degree whether we will live from our weaknesses or from our strengths, right? I have a favorite food group. You know what my favorite food group is? Yeah, it's rice, yeah. But even before rice, I love rice, good one. But I love French fries. I could have French fries every single day of my life, right? I love French fries. I love pizzas. I love Chinese food, especially the deep fried stuff like ginger beef and, you know, all the deep stuff. I love cherry strudels and I love donuts. I love this food group. But my wife Karen does not love, she does not, right? She loves different stuff like carrots and quinoa and you know, spinach, you know. And I love potato chips. I love cheesies. I can get some right now. I wish I had a bag of cheese I could just snack while I'm talking to you. I love ripple, cherry strudels. I love all that stuff. You know, I love the chip dip. You know, and when it's 15% Tuesday, I tell Karen, get me some. Get some potato chips. Get some nacho chips. Give me some cherry strudels. She said, no, not in my house. Not in my house. You know, she helps me to be stronger. You know what? She takes my weakness and she helps me to be stronger. Amen? Don't we need people like that? We need to be strong. I say, if you live with people, if you do life with people who want to get healthy, who love exercise, and they love eating healthy, and if they get alongside you, and you get alongside of them, they will help you to live, not from your weaknesses, but from your strengths. That's talking about the physical body. That's spiritually too as well. We need others that will help us spiritually walk stronger in faith and commitment to Christ. Amen? We need each other. There's just no way we can make it in this life. We just desperately need each other. They will help you to live from your strengths. About 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I think that when we first started this series, Better Together, I talked about friends of faith. Do you remember that message? Friends of faith. If you missed that message, go back to the City Light website and listen to that message. Friends of faith. And these friends of faith were awesome together. It's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. You know? Three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they gave each other support and encouragement and strength. Amen? They helped each other. And they were facing incredible duress and pressure. If they didn't bow down to the golden idol of the king, they faced sure death. But they held it together. You know? What a great ending to that story. But the question is, what would have happened to them had it not been that there were three instead of just one, that there were three instead of just me, right? What would have happened to them? What would have happened to them had they not had the strength from just being with each other, right? What would have happened to them had they not had the strength of peers who were determined to make their life count, make their life matter, and to stand up for Jesus Christ? How different would that story have ended? How different, right? So I'm going to ask you that question. Ask me that question. How about your life? How will your story end? How will your story end? Right? Here's a suggestion. Take all the relationships with God's people out of your life. Every single one of them. Try to do your life on your own. Tell me, how will your story end? It won't end very good. I see Christians doing it right now. It doesn't happen immediately. It's a slow dissipation of relationships, withdrawals. Life becomes about me. I don't want to be hurt. I'm not going to connect myself. I'm not going to trust as much. I've got one friend, that's enough. I said, you don't have enough friends. How many friends do you have? You got one friend, two, 20, 30? It's not enough. You may have 100 friends, and God says it's not enough. Never stop inviting God to bring relationships of favor into your life. Amen? Never stop. I want to tell you right now, you don't have enough relationships in your life. And when you start to close yourself off from relationships, your life, your world gets smaller and smaller. Right? The world of the stingy. When you get stingy in caring for people, being faithful to people, showing up for people. You're a married couple. You got a good marriage. Maybe it's not perfect, but you see a couple struggling in a marriage and you just walk by them. Your world gets smaller and smaller. God wants you to share your life. Share your heart. Care for people. Care for one another. Right? And when you care for one another, God will pour in His care for you. And you will experience blessing and success in your life. Such a powerful principle. But people, we're so ignorant. You know, I get hurt all the time. Not all the time. We get hurt. We could easily just back up and say, okay, that's it. We're not going to connect with people. We're not going to care for people anymore. So easy to do that. But God has a call on every single person's life here to care for one another. There are over 30 scriptures in the New Testament you can't even obey unless you're with one another consistently, faithfully, committedly because of Christ. Amen? Such a powerful principle. We need one another. We need relationships. We have an enemy who is smart. And we're in a spiritual warfare, right? And that's why we gather. Why do we gather? We gather for success, for safety, and for strength. Why do we gather? For success, for safety, and for what? Strength. We gather together for success, for safety, and for strength. We need one another. Amen? Amen? You know, my faith becomes your faith. Your faith becomes my faith, right? I give you a little bit of faith, you give me a little bit of faith. You give me a little bit of faith, I'll give you a little bit of faith. You give me a bit of faith, I give you a little bit. We need each other for success, right? We just can't do life by ourselves. And some people here have strengths that you don't have, right? And some people here have had experiences, battles, which are the same battles that you may be going through right now. And they can help you. Amen? We are here to help one another to succeed, to provide refuge, and to give strength to one another. Amen? Your strength becomes my strength. Your strength becomes my strength. I lean on you, and you can lean on me. Thank God we have each other to lean on, right? We're so much better, greater, stronger, safer together. Amen? We are better together. Can we say that one more time? We are better together. Can we say amen to that? Somebody say amen. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, now help us to take this understanding about why we need each other and why we need to care for one another and deepen that message into our heart. Help us to realize, just like your word says, I am fearfully and wonderfully created for a purpose to be used by God to help other people for the glory of God and to see people come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that I'm here on this planet to make a big difference. That I'm here to be a part of something way bigger than just me, myself. I'm here to be a part of God's family. He put us into His family. Then I belong. And help us to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our resources, our encouragement, our comfort. Give it to people who need it. And not be stingy about it with our lives. God, give us generous hearts. Make us into members of this house. Become just a part of the team members who just want to serve each other. And then when we serve each other, Lord, you give us the power to reach other people for in this world for Jesus Christ. So we just thank you for that, Father. Make us into generous, living, giving people who care for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I just want to just ask you to just keep your heads bowed just for a minute. I want to say that maybe you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. And you know what? Remember the Jesus words of Jesus? He said, the devil comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Maybe you're experiencing that. There's not much life in your life. Not much joy and happiness in your life. But Jesus said, I came to give you life. And that abundantly. That to the full. Joy, peace. Yeah, not without struggles. But the greatest sense of security, peace, you're going to, you know, if you're that person that says, I need Jesus in my life. I need to invite him into my heart. I'm going to invite you to do that today. Jesus said, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've never believed in Jesus, by receiving it, inviting Him into your heart, I'm going to invite you to do that right now. So, as we bow our heads, I want you to say these words. Say these words. And when you say these words, He's going to hear you. Amen? Are you ready? Bow your heads. Follow me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed in my life. Today, Lord Jesus, I open up my heart and I surrender to you and invite you into my heart, into my life, to be Savior and Lord of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, now if you said that prayer for the very first time, you invited Christ into your heart, I want you to just raise your hand and just wave it. Wave it so I can see it. I said that prayer, I invited Christ into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hand. You invited Christ into your heart. I need Jesus. Raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Challenge that you've given us today. Help us to take that challenge and practice what we've heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being such good listeners.